BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the death toll in El Paso climbed to 22 yesterday. Another 26 injured after a mass shooting at a local Walmart. In Dayton, 9 people dead. It was reported in the vicinity of 27 additional injured. And not to be forgotten, what seems to be a trend in Chicago, which faced a horrendous weekend of gun violence. At least 7 dead, at least 46 injured. And not too far back was the Gilroy Garlic Festival in California. Why are we seeing these shootings unfold? How do we right the ship? Well, joining us today, we welcome Mark Walters. Mark is a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and the broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. He's the host of 2 nationally syndicated radio broadcasts, a columnist and author of 3 books, Lessons from Armed America, Lessons from Unarmed America, and the soon-to-be-released Grilling While Armed. Mark, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk.
Oh, thank you very much for having me on, Jim. And the Grilling While Armed was released about a week ago.
Oh.
So check it out on Amazon. Grilling While Armed. We pair up great barbecue recipes with great guns to wear while you're smoking up the neighborhood.
Mark, you've been a voice a long time on protecting our Second Amendment. And that which some are saying, it needs to be rewritten. It needs to be changed. What is your response to, first of all, what unfolded this past weekend in El Paso, then Dayton, and week after week what happens in Chicago?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought Chicago up. I've been covering the horrific numbers out of Chicago for 10 years on the nation's airwaves, and I've lost count of the tens of thousands of shooting victims that I've covered over the years. I've spent time on my program actually naming the victims and going through the weekend list by name because these people don't get mentioned anywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about them, but they'll talk about the mass killing. The media will go absolutely haywire as they are today. And they will be for the next few weeks until they find another story that they can push for the next few weeks and ignore whatever else they want to ignore in their daily quest of creating and driving a narrative that fits their agenda. But I've got to get personal with these a little bit. So I want to tell your audience, El Paso, first of all, I have a lot of personal friends. I host Armed American Radio, and I defend gun rights on the nation's airwaves and in print and other forms of media for 10, 12, 14 years now. And I have a lot of good close friends in El Paso, Texas. I worked there my company as a truckload broker a number of years ago. I did a ton of business coming out of Juarez, Mexico from Electrolux, and I hauled that freight back across the country after NAFTA sent the plant from Greenville, Michigan down to Mexico, costing several thousand jobs. So I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm.
I know how that went down. But I hauled that freight back into the United States for many, many years, and I developed great working relationships and friendships with several of my Mexican counterparts and a number of my Mexican friends on the other side, on the U.S. side of the border. And when that happened, I've been to that mall. I've been to that Walmart. I've been to the Best Buy right down the street from it. I've eaten around the corner from there. I know it. I know it well. And I after El Paso, I had to pick the phone up, and I was compelled to call friends of mine to ask if they and their families were okay. It was not easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, it hits home. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, I actually fell asleep on my couch that night. Woke up about 2:30 in the morning, and the television was on. And I flipped it over to Fox News just out of habit, and I saw Dayton, Ohio. And Dayton, Ohio was even worse for me. Every Thanksgiving, every Christmas I've ever spent from the day I was born was spent at my grandparents' house in Dayton, Ohio. My mother and father are from Dayton, Ohio. My mother has 16 brothers and sisters, large Catholic family. And all of my 80 first cousins are all in Dayton, Ohio. Aunts, uncles. My wife is from Dayton. Her family is in Dayton.
Really hitting home.
And it turns out an hour before I went on the airwaves on Sunday, I found out that my sister-in-law, my gorgeous sister-in-law, Allie, professional photographer, very successful in Dayton, Ohio, knew the killer. She took his high school photographs, his high school graduation photographs, and she's friends with mother and father on Facebook, on social media. So this does hit home. In a very powerful way. I have stood on that street right there in front of Ned Pepper's in the Oregon District. I had friends and family who were there that night, fortunately, till about 11 o'clock. My nieces, best friend's brother is going to lose an arm in that shooting. He was shot on the street. This hits home. And my knee-jerk reaction to this is not, oh my gosh, we've got to take away all, I've got to get rid of the guns in my safe and take them to the police department so this never happens again.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it in that perspective, it's ludicrous. Because I want to remind your listeners, the guns in my safe and the guns in your safe, listener, have nothing to do with the evil that walked into that Walmart in El Paso, and that's what it was. It was evil. And it had nothing to do with the evil that walked the street in Dayton, Ohio, in the Oregon District 12 hours later. We're not responsible for that crime. And this didn't happen in America, Jim, when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't happen when you were a kid.
Right.
We all went to school. But it's happening subsequent to Columbine. And over time, you look at coincidences, and a pattern begins to develop. And you think to yourself, you know, this might not be a coincidence. Something's going on here. What is happening here that didn't happen when we were kids? I have a son as a freshman in high school this year, just went back to school Thursday of last week. Today, being Tuesday, he's in his fourth day of high school. Yes, and my daughter is a junior. I can't keep track of them. They're growing so fast. Is a junior at the same high school. And my wife was making breakfast yesterday for him, and she said, remember when we used to go have lunch with the kids in the elementary school? I miss those days. We talked about how loud the cafeteria was and how the school moms would come out every once in a while from the kitchen and tell the kids it was quiet time. And I asked, that made me think of something, and I didn't tell my kids or my wife what I was thinking. But I said to my son, you've been in that cafeteria now for 3 days. What's it like compared to Sixes Elementary School? And he said, it's super quiet. Mm. And my daughter said, because everybody's on their phones.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm going with that here is we're losing, and this is just a piece of the puzzle. I'm not blaming anything on this individually, but it is a piece of a bigger puzzle. We are losing interpersonal skills and relationships this younger generation. We didn't have that problem when we were kids. And I guarantee you, when you were in school, the cafeteria was mighty loud.
Yes, sir.
Because we were communicating with each other. We were talking to each other. We were talking with our girlfriends. Maybe we were talking, you know, the girls were talking with their boyfriends. Maybe somebody was yelling at somebody because they didn't like them. Maybe a fight broke. There was interaction. There was people being people.
Yeah.
And in today's day and age, we've lost that. To me, combined with a 24/7 news cycle that is absolutely pushing a particular agenda, this is a recipe for disaster. And I believe that this is a part of that puzzle, that when this check is cashed and when this bill is paid for and when this chapter of the book is over in American history, we will not look back on fondness with the advent of this technology. I hope I live long enough to see that I'm right, because none of this can be good going forward. But there's patterns. If you look at what each one of these young kids are, 21 and 24-year-olds doing this. And you've got to wonder why. What makes them so angry? Well, it could be because they have no interpersonal skills. That could be part of it. They're told no by someone online and not in real face-to-face communication.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to ask that question. And I believe we're beginning to ask that question now, because this isn't about the firearm. This isn't about the guns in my safe and the hundreds of millions of firearms that hurt nobody today, or the thousands of firearms that were used to defend people today that the media never tells us about.
Well, Mark, what we are hearing, though, is that this, and we're hearing it from many of the presidential contenders, is being fanned by the flames of the media as they put it out report after report. I mean, the blame, they're pointing right at President Trump. He's a racist. It's his rhetoric that has caused this. It's his anti-immigrant attitude, and on the charges go.
I don't remember hearing that same accusation leveled after Newtown at Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember hearing that same accusation leveled at Barack Obama over many, well over a dozen mass killings during his administration. This is, to me, and I'm assuming you probably read the manifesto of the killer from El Paso. I've read it many times over. It's sick, it's twisted, and it speaks volumes, frankly, in a sense about the direction I was going there as a part of the puzzle anyway. But to politicize the death of Americans in Dayton, El Paso, California, whichever one you want to pick, of these recent killings, because this is a recent phenomenon, is as sick and twisted in my book.
Yeah, yeah.
To push a political agenda. These people are sick. This is not normal behavior. The party, the Democrat Party, is this party is not the party of John Kennedy. John Kennedy was a life member of the National Rifle Association, was fiscally conservative, and dare I say, even his brother, Ted Kennedy. This is not that. This is not the same party. The party has transformed and morphed into something very, very dangerous. And we see it with the race accusation, which, by the way, has lost its fire. Everybody's a racist now.
Mm-hmm.
If you disagree with me, you're a racist.
That's right, yeah.
This is dangerous.
And when we see this, you know, emphasis coming out with the El Paso killer and his manifesto, which really doesn't show that he's exactly right wing. But here right. We have presidential candidates that have this focus on the El Paso shooting, but their narrative would implicate themselves in the Dayton shooting, where the killer had a Twitter account with far left rhetoric, showing support for Elizabeth Warren, showing his support for socialism, supporting Antifa, even tweets in support of Satan.
There's a reason they can say these things, because they know the media isn't going to question them. And that it's so dangerous. I had a conversation with the great Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, as a regular contributor on my show on Sunday, this past Sunday. And we got to talking about this very subject, of course. We got into it in ways, as you and I are now here, that we really haven't before. This is deep and it's complicated, and people like us have to have this conversation. Because we're the ones that are being attacked. I'm tired of my lawful, law-abiding, hard-working, tax-paying way of life being attacked by a 19-year-old kid from Parkland who hasn't paid a tax in his life, telling me at 57 how to live my life and what I should get rid of that I own. Okay? Nobody more than me, as a defender of the right to bear arms, wants this to stop. Because if I take this very personally, obviously I get attacked. And we all do. Any gun rights supporter I'm talking to, you listener, if you're a gun rights supporter, you get attacked. You know what I mean? You feel like, uh-oh, here they come. But we had this conversation, and unfortunately, I have to tell you, I've mentioned this on my airwaves before, and I'll tell you and your listeners now, the genie's out of the bottle. And I don't think we're ever going to be able to put it back. And by that, I mean the genie that allows this hateful rhetoric from the left to demonize the president. They're still so filled with rage and hatred over their loss in 2016 that they will do and say anything, and they know they can do it because they know the media is pushing their agenda. That makes this a very dangerous scenario. As I said, this is creating a recipe for disaster. I believe personally that the mainstream media, if you want to view it as an entity, and that's the way I describe it on my program, is the single most dangerous entity we face in this country today. Because it is pushing an agenda, and it is creating a narrative. And it's doing that not by virtue of what they tell us that's biased. We're smart enough to read a story or hear a story and say, wow, look at that, and know that it's coming at us from a biased tilt. We're intelligent enough to figure that out. But we're not intelligent enough to figure out what they didn't tell us.
Mark Walters, our guest today, national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, and also the broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. I'm going to take a quick break here as we talk about this weekend of violence. After our break, we're going to come back and look at some of the solutions to this. I mean, we're hearing calls right now to ban bullets, to ban guns. Is that the solution? We'll be back in a minute.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how primitive was early man?
Chris, early man was never primitive in an evolutionary sense at all. In the beginning, man was created in the image of God with great ability, even able to communicate with God face to face. All this was before sin, however, and we've been deteriorating ever since. Evidence continues to accumulate that long ago man was highly sophisticated, evidently even performing brain surgery. Skulls have been found with holes drilled in them for surgical reasons, and the person had survived. No, Chris, there never were primitive humans. There were some with less technology and not much education, but Stone Age cultures exist today. This is a level of civilization, but not an evolutionary stage, and it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT. We'll be right back.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Yes, we're discussing the weekend of violence. And folks, as we say, it continues to unfold in Chicago week after week after week. Mark Walter is with us today. National Board Member of Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Also working as a broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. He was referencing Alan Gottlieb, rather, who has been a guest here on this program as well, addressing such issues. And Mark, I'd like to focus on how do we respond to this? I mean, we are hearing calls. First of all, we're hearing people say we need to get Congress back in session, come back from your August recess. The call to outlaw guns, the call to outlaw bullets, and since one of the killers was wearing body armor, there's been the call to ban body armor. How do we respond to these calls?
Well, I think we should all just ban ourselves and retreat to our homes forever and never go outside, order our groceries online, and live like that. Maybe that'll solve the problem. You know, obviously I'm being sarcastic, but that's what we feel like, right? Let's get really serious about this. We're doing the job now. We're responding to it right now. And we're responding in a way that we really haven't before. It was interesting. I was on, I forget which television show it was. I've done so many over the last few days. I forget. But the host of the show asked me, "You must be getting tired of defending gun rights now through all this." And I said, "No, I never get tired of defending gun rights. And I don't feel like I have to defend myself. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm a law-abiding American citizen that owns guns. I don't have to defend myself from the attacks from the left. I have the constitutional right, and I have a desire to own the guns that I own to protect and defend myself. I've used a gun to defend myself in 2002. I used a Glock 36 45 caliber compact handgun to defend myself on my way to work at 6:20 in the morning in Tampa, Florida, from two attempted carjackers who turned their attention toward me when they couldn't get in the other vehicle when they stopped traffic at a traffic light. My Glock, without firing a shot, ended that incident, and no one got hurt, including the criminals, who everybody, light changed, and everybody went on their merry way. It was a very frightening incident. I wrote a column about it, and I'll have this conversation with anybody about my right to bear arms. I don't feel like I have to defend my right to bear arms, nor do I have to defend yours. Unfortunately, we do. So after having said that, these conversations are important parts of the puzzle of defending our gun rights and talking about things in a sane and rational way. Alan Gottlieb's very good at that, obviously. I know he's been on your program before, and you've heard him. He's wonderful. But we defend it by being truthful and honest in the face of the lies that are coming after us. For example, here's a tweet from Judith Miller, who is a journalist. "Video games and mental illness did not commit mass shootings. Military-style assault weapons did."
Wow.
So the gun just got up and walked down the street to Dayton, Ohio. An evil human being didn't pick it up and cycle its action and load it. I mean, this is what we have to deal with. And if you watch any television news or read anything today, it doesn't matter really what program, if you put it on, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSDNC, any of them, and you will see just outright ignorance. People talking about firearms that know nothing about firearms. People talking about vests and ballistics. They know absolutely nothing about what they're talking about. And all they're doing, all it's designed to do, sadly, Jim, is to push their single political agenda of ridding America of guns at the expense of truly finding out why this is happening. And there's more than one area. We're talking about mass killings like we saw in El Paso, attempted mass killing in California, and now in Dayton, and others before that, too many others before that, Parkland, Newtown, name them, Aurora, name them, Virginia Beach, the list goes on. But what's the difference between that and Chicago? Why aren't we talking about Chicago every single day? Why aren't they doing this about Chicago every single day? Or St. Louis, which is the highest per capita murder rate in the country. The numbers are smaller than Chicago because it's a smaller city, but the murder rate is far higher. Why aren't we talking about this in Baltimore, where people are afraid to walk outside in Elijah Cummings' own district? He's been there for 24 years. Nobody talks about it. But they talk about this. Why? Because it's easy to use this, because they know the media is going to pick up on it. Far easier to use this than four black-on-black killings that are gang-related in Chicago on the South Side last night, which, by the way, might total set shooting number 72, 73, 74, and 75 on any given weekend. And it's sad that we're at a point where we have to push that agenda. These conversations like this are important. People hearing what we're talking about today is making a difference because it's making people think, you know, I never thought about that before, because they never hear about it. Before the break, I said I was more concerned that the media, the danger that the media poses to us is not by virtue of what they tell us that we're smart enough to figure out is biased. Hey, I think that guy's pushing an agenda. We can tell that.
Sure can.
What about the story that we never heard? Because they didn't tell us. Here's one for you. In Fort Myers, Florida, 2 years ago, there was a Lee County Sheriff's deputy at the intersection of I-75, and I believe it was Davidson Parkway, somewhere down there. I should know it. I'm from Tampa, but I don't. Who was on a call, got a guy out of a vehicle at a traffic stop. The individual attacked the officer, 4:45 in the afternoon, rush hour traffic. You can imagine that. Right next to the interstate, at the interstate ramp. He was thrown down on the road and was being beaten into unconsciousness. The individual was attempting to take his firearm, the officer's firearm. The officer, with every bit of little consciousness he had left, was doing everything he can to retain his firearm because he knew he was going to be killed if he lost it. And we have video footage of dozens of motorists standing outside their vehicles filming it. Filming it. When a black man, and it was a black man who was beating a white officer, it's important to the story. Normally it wouldn't matter, but in this case it does. When a black man is seen walking into view of the cameras, someone's cell phone video, by the way, walking in front of that camera with a firearm at his side, almost at a tactical pace, walking along the car, then he exposes himself and raises his firearm and walks over and tells the individual on top of the officer to stop, stop, stop. The officer says, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him, he's trying to kill me. The black man with the gun fires 3 times into the man's upper body, doesn't stop him. He looks over at the guy who shot him. The officer yelled at him again, fire, fire. This time he shot him in the head and ended the situation, saving the officer's life. He was given the highest civilian award in the state of Florida and Lee County for saving. He was a black concealed carry permit holder who saved the white deputy's life at a time when we're dealing with the Black Lives Matter and this, you know, don't shoot lie and everything in Ferguson, Missouri. We're having to deal with all of that. And here we have what I believe today was one of the most compelling human interest stories of the year.
Yeah.
There was a time in America when the ABC, NBC, CBS News would have run that first right at the time. They didn't even tell you. Didn't even hear about it. You probably didn't even know about it. And stories like that happen across this country every day. Imagine if the media covered guns in a different way and then covered a mass shooting in El Paso. It would be seen for what it is, actually a very rare event in the life of America, of a 320 million Americans in their daily events during the day. This is the danger of they don't even tell us. To me, that's a lie of omission, and a lie of omission to me, I call as thought thievery.
And this is not isolated. I mean, there are cases like these that are popping up all over in municipalities.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. These types of, are you talking about the self-defense cases?
Yeah, and exactly.
Oh. Well, you go to any local newspaper, you'll see the local blurb in your local paper of armed homeowner stopped invasion, home invasion, or, you know, armed customer stopped 7-Eleven robbery, or an armed, these happen across the country hundreds of times a day. And the individual papers pick them up. There's no national database of it. And the mainstream press wouldn't dare touch it. Why would they tell you such an incredible story of bravery in Florida when it flies in the face of their agenda? They can't do that. That's how sick and twisted our media has become today, that they can't even cover this incredible, compelling human interest story. They didn't even talk about it. Now, to me, as I was saying, that's thought thievery. They are robbing me of my ability to make a decision on something that they don't want me to see or hear. And this is terrible. It's doing tremendous damage to the psyche of the country. And when you combine that with the fact that it's instant information and it's 24/7, Jim, again, this is a recipe for disaster. And we are seeing the results of that. And all of this are just individual pieces to a puzzle that is destroying the moral, let's just say this, it's fomenting the moral decay of this nation at a very rapid pace, and it's terrible.
I'd like you to address something that's very current as well in the news, because it is, we've heard it now from the president talking about red flag laws, a need to reform our mental health law. We're seeing, why don't you first of all define what a red flag law is, and is this something that works or not?
A red flag law is a violation of my Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, and 14th Amendment constitutional protection. Let me explain what I mean by that. A red flag law is going to be sold a bill of goods to millions of Americans who are going to buy into it because they're not going to hear what I'm about ready to tell you. And that is, and you're hearing Lindsey Graham right now teaming up with some of the worst gun grabbers in the country, Blumenthal and Chris Murphy in Connecticut. They have no good in their hearts when it comes to your gun rights. Their objective is to end your ability to own a firearm. So when you see Lindsey Graham team up with them, you need to know what you're getting. And that's, you can look that up yourself. You don't have to believe me. But what the red flag law does, what they call a red flag law, is designed on the surface, sounds wonderful. We've got to do something is the battle cry, right, from the left. Right. We've got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But they never tell us what. But a red flag law and a background check is where we can start. Every killer passed the background check, but let's not let that fact get in the way. And a red flag law wouldn't have stopped anything because we can't see the future. We're going after somebody who hasn't done anything yet, and we're violating their constitutional rights. Here's what it does. I want you to picture the following scenario. You have a nasty divorce, and you have a woman who is fighting for custody of the kids, and it's you know how unfortunately these things get terrible. Husband's a gun owner. She makes a call to the police and says, my estranged husband is a gun owner. I'm in fear for my life. I think he's going to harm me and the kids. He's very distraught over our divorce. I'm afraid for my life and the lives of my children. We've gotten into some very bad arguments. He's got guns in the house. The officer, that will trigger in a state that has red flag law, that will trigger the officer to go to a judge with the witness, the woman, who will tell the judge that story. At which point, now keep in mind, the husband hasn't been notified. He has no idea this is going on. The judge looks at her and says, well, you're a very compelling story. How do you think the judge is going to do? What do you think the judge is going to do? The judge is going to err on the side of caution. He has to, or she has to. The judge has to err on the side of caution. That's what we're going to find. So the judge, this is called an ex parte hearing, listener. That means the party being accused doesn't have to be there and isn't going to be there. They're not going to notify him. That's the whole point of the red flag, is to catch them off guard before they harm anybody. So the judge says compelling argument and sets a warrant to seize the individual's firearms without his knowledge. They don't come when you're at work, tell your boss they need to see you. They don't come to your house while you're eating dinner. They come to your house at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, as they did in Baltimore to the individual, his name escapes me now, who had no idea they were coming. So here you are at 4 o'clock in the morning. You've got 9 or 10 police officers outside your door pounding on your door, telling you, open the door. It's the whatever city police. You open the door going, what in the heck is going on here? Why are you here? We're here to seize your firearms. We have an order from the judge about this. We believe you might be a danger to yourself. You sit there and think to yourself, what are you talking about? Who did this? You have absolutely no idea. Meanwhile, you get pretty angry. They cuff you for their safety, and they go into your home, empty everything, clear your house out on a legal warrant under a red flag law to take your firearms. You haven't even seen a judge. No one's even talked to you. What next? In about 2 weeks, you can approach the judge and petition for your property back so the judge can make a determination as to whether or not whether the story was true.
Wow. Wow. Well, folks, we'll discuss a little bit further. Then we'll be opening some phone lines here today on Crosstalk to give you opportunity to interact with our guest, Mark Walters. Also be ready to jot down. We'll have our guest give a website here after the break so you can stay informed on some of the critical issues as they address the matters here that are unfolding before us. Back in just a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
The one book that's been credited as one of the major catalysts for the modern creationist movement is The Genesis Flood, authored by Dr. John Whitcomb and Dr. Henry Morris. While skeptics today cast doubt upon the authenticity of a universal flood and its geological impact during the time of Noah, we are modern-day witnesses of the massive, devastating force of tsunamis, hurricanes, and floods, and the great geological changes taking place from a single storm. The Genesis Flood is a 500-page resource which places before the reader in clear fashion the theological and scientific basis for literal acceptance of the biblical account. Replete with empirical data, this book provides illustrations, charts, and diagrams, along with sound documentation that harmonizes science with biblical truth. The Genesis Flood is available for a donation of $20 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America as we discuss a weekend of violence. But folks, the same discussions erupt every single time that there is a shooting, dubbed a mass shooting, here someplace in our country. And we're discussing the very issues. Just before we pick up on the red flag, Mark Walters with us today. Mark, how do our listeners stay informed on this? I mean, how do they get past what they hear, you know, on the NBC, CBS, NBC, so forth? Give us a website.
Well, I'll tell you, honestly, they listen to you and they listen to me, armedamericanradio.com, and they can visit the Second Amendment Foundation and find out how to actually do something here, and that's to get involved. The Second Amendment Foundation, these red flag laws that we're talking about here, will no doubt be fought in court, and it will be the Second Amendment Foundation that is the one in court defending and actually bringing our firearms, as Alan Gottlieb likes to say, winning our firearms freedoms back one lawsuit at a time at saf.org, and you can join for $150 for a life membership. It is a tax-deductible donation. $5, $2, couch change works. You need the help. Right now, the SAF, Second Amendment Foundation, is active in over 35 courtrooms across the country defending gun rights. That's how you get active.
Again, folks, that's SAF for Second Amendment Foundation, saf.org. Mark, you were talking about the aspect of red flag flying in the face of our Constitution. Define that a little bit further for us. You mentioned three different places where it flies in the face of our constitutional rights.
It flies in the face of, it completely eviscerates our 14th Amendment rights to due process. It completely eviscerates our Fourth Amendment protections to be safe and secure in our things from a police state, and it completely eviscerates our Second Amendment rights. In one fell swoop, the police take your things against your will, hold you in custody, violate your rights to due process, which was the hearing itself because you didn't even know what was happening, and it's all sanctioned by the state. All three are extreme violations of the Constitution. I have to say this. I was watching Fox. I was flipping through all of the networks, actually, and I stopped on Judge Napolitano, who I don't think he's been right maybe once out of 10 times. I'm not a big fan of his. But he was talking about red flag laws because Lindsey Graham is now, and I'll close out that with the very brief commentary on Lindsey Graham's red flag law in just a second. But he said these things will never withstand constitutional muster at the Supreme Court, and they're going to be challenged. We do not make accusations against Americans who have not committed a crime, hold them against their will, and take their things without due process of law. That's the very basis and the pinnacle of our judicial system. That's what we don't do. That's what Cuba does, not what we do in America. Now, with due respect to Lindsey Graham, who I like and then I don't like, and then I like and then I don't like, he's kind of been like that over the years with me. Lindsey Graham has made it very clear that his bill vigorously, I quote him, vigorously protects due process. Yet, I guess his due process is after the fact. Because after they go and decide they can take your stuff, they bring you in front of the judge quicker than 2 weeks. That's not due process. Here's how they could get my support for a red flag bill. And I don't know why this isn't being discussed anywhere. Ma'am, you're making an accusation against your husband. It sounds very credible. Let's bring him here and get his side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go in and tell your side of the story. What's the problem there?
Facing your accuser.
Isn't that the pinnacle of our judicial system? That's what makes us free. That's the rule of law in America. We do not incarcerate people or accuse them of crimes when they have not yet committed. Or may think about this even further. We're accusing someone of possibly committing a crime down the road, so we're going to take their constitutional freedoms, their Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, and just eviscerate their 14th Amendment due process rights because somebody said something. And I'm sure your listeners will know that there's probably never been a lie told in a courtroom over a very contentious child custody dispute in a courtroom across America either, has there? This isn't ripe for abuse, is it? It is ripe for abuse. And while it feels good, it makes people feel like, whew, we're doing something. Red flag laws have not stopped any killing in any state. They're in effect in Florida. Weeks after Florida's was knee-jerk signed in by then-Governor Scott before he became Senator Scott, we had a mass killing, mass shooting at the gaming event in Jacksonville. These red flag laws didn't stop any recent killing in California, which has had them in place since 1994. This is dangerous. This is just where we're at today in America, where there's a certain group of people that feel we have to do something at the expense of all of our rights. And dare I say, that's the loss of our freedom. And when we get to that point, America is no longer a free place. That's the danger we're facing.
Mark Walters with us today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Are your comments, your questions here today, 800-733-9829. Again, the websites, armedamericanradio.org, saf.org, and I believe that'll get you to your sites. Is that correct?
It will, yes. And I hate to say this because I am on Twitter simply because I have to be for my work. If you are on Twitter, at AARMark is where you can follow me. I hope you're not. If you don't need it for work, I hope you're not. It's such a vile, hateful place.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Again, our number is 800-733-9829, giving you an opportunity to speak with Mark Walters today, who is a board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and also spokesman on media here for the Second Amendment Foundation. And Karen, taking your calls here today, we're going to begin in Pensacola, Florida, and we have Dan who's calling in. Dan, you're on the air.
Yeah, the comment I'd like to make is it always angers me when there's a mass shooting like this, and you can go back to when Barack Obama was president and everything else in Connecticut, the politicians use the victims of these things to try to make their point and to try to do it, but they actually use these people in a way that's just not right.
Thank you for the call. And indeed, Mark, that's what we are seeing here take place. I mean, we are seeing fundraising going on by various candidates in order to, advance their campaigns by not letting a moment of tragedy go to waste.
Yeah, Dan, in Pensacola, thanks for the call. Love your area of the state, by the way. Love the panhandle. Let me address Dan's comment, really, with this. We're really, truly witnessing a horrible exploitation of our children in Parkland. With the media and the Bloomberg money, Bloomberg just opened his wallet and is funding. Do you really believe that 8 kids in Parkland funded a half a million people march in Washington, D.C.? No, of course not. This came from Bloomberg and Everytown for Gun Safety, who are clearly exploiting these kids, who are suffering. It's incomprehensible to me. I'm a talk radio host, and this leaves me speechless. But it is just an extension of what he said, that Dan said, and I thought it was a great point, Dan. Thank you for bringing it up. Because that, again, is how we talk about this. This is how we fix this, how we bring it to people's attention, is by discussing it. It's not discussed enough in the mainstream media. It has to be us getting the word out. And it's incomprehensible to me what I'm seeing in my country today in this day and age. I never thought I would see this in America. I just didn't.
John is our next caller. John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon. This red flag stuff reminds me of the Me Too movement, where accusations above fact and common sense just boggles the mind.
Hmm. Interesting observation.
Yeah, it is. It is, Jim. It's a great point. Thank you, John, for the call. To me, I said incomprehensible before. I have to use the word again, that in America we would even be considering a red flag law in the face of how our jurisprudence, our system of jurisprudence, it flies in the face of our Constitution that built this republic into what it is today. And to think that we can eviscerate 3 amendments of our Bill of Rights, 3, to me, is utterly shocking. And to hear it coming from the very people who are attorneys and prosecutors, and who know better than this. My question to John, the caller, would be, and to you, Jim, and to your listeners, is who are they trying to please? Who are they trying to appease? Did Governor Scott in Florida, where Dan is, actually think that by appeasing, he was going to appease Democrats who might vote for him after Parkland in an area of the state that isn't going to vote for a Republican ever anyway? Of course not. Unfortunately, I can answer the question. He was trying to appease, as Lindsey Graham and the rest of them is, the media, so that they relax this intense, and it is intense,
yes,
negative coverage of them. Unfortunately, again, the power of the media, This is a way to get the media off the back. They're thinking, let me go ahead and put these laws into place, and then we'll let the courts deal with it, but it'll get the media off my back. How sad.
Let's go to Charlie calling from Lodi, Wisconsin. Charlie, you're on the air.
Thank you. Interesting show. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make this quick. I was in the Marine Corps, and I wonder how far the deep state's involved with this, if your guest takes that into factor, because there's more to this than meets the eye. These people have an agenda. I don't think they care a rip about our safety or even guns. Hmm. It's all about power, manipulation, and control. And they cannot control us unless the weapons are taken away. Psychiatric drugs, hypnosis, Manchurian candidate. This might sound a little over the top, but there's something very heinous going on behind the scenes.
Charlie, thank you for the call. What about this deep state control? Your thoughts,
Charlie,
on that, Mark?
Charlie, thanks for the call. Lodi, Wisconsin. Love Wisconsin. I get up there a lot to the West Bend area. It's a beautiful place. I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. I never have been, ever, because I can see through some of this stuff. And I base my viewpoints on what it is I don't know compared to what I do know about a situation. But when you mention deep state, the deep state, I can give you another phrase for deep state, the swamp. The swamp is the deep state. And the swamp lost control, or felt they lost control, when Donald Trump took office. Not just the left, who are still going crazy haywire, but the rhino Republicans on the right as well. That is who Charlie is describing as the deep state. And there is absolutely no question, he is 100% correct, that Donald Trump is a threat. And now the real threat from gun rights is really felt by the left, who cannot enact a socialist agenda with an armed population, which is why they are so adamant on disarming us. Charlie's 100% correct about that.
But Donald Trump is also touting red flag laws at this point.
Donald Trump is touting red flag laws right now. And I got to tell you, the most pro-gun candidate I've ever seen in my lifetime is now responsible for signing bump stocks, flirting with expanded background checks that have been in place. Name them. That every one of these killers has passed the background check. You can't make it more expanded than it was. Now, obviously, if there are kinks in the system and information that should be there isn't getting there, that needs to be fixed. No question about that. I'm not against that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need. That's a whole different.
Let's
Charlie, you're right, but the rest of it, I can't address the Manchurian. But you're right about the deep state, 100%.
Thank you for the call. We're going to try and squeeze in Ron before the break. Ron in Galesville, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I don't watch TV. I don't have time. I'm still working yet. I'm only 83 and a half years old. But
good for you.
And I don't care about that. I hear everything over your station, and that's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to get my guns. Okay. But what's this deal in Hong Kong? I see in the papers where there's always conflict over there, but there's no shootings. Don't they have any guns over there? Tell me, please, would you, Mark?
China, no. I actually have very dear friends that live in China now for business that are back in the we're taking a break.
Yeah, tell you what, we'll pick up with that right after the break. Thank you for the call, Ron. Back in 60 seconds, you're listening to Crosstalk. Mark Walters with us today, back here on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. America has been struck again by a tragedy, multiple tragedies. The shooting in Ohio as well as in Texas, leaving now 30 people dead, not counting all those injured. Well, the media is quick to want to blame it on Christians and nationalists and racists. That's what they say some of these shooters are. Well, the reality is that's not true. The reported manifesto from the shooter in El Paso, Texas, reveals he is not a Christian, he is not a conservative, he is not a constitutionalist. But the media doesn't want to read, apparently, from his manifesto, in which he calls for universal basic income. That's socialism. He is a racist. He calls for breaking up the country so that there is not the mixing of races. This is nothing less than really eugenics promoted by Adolf Hitler. He promotes radical environmentalism, sustainable development, and population control. Many of these ideologies are that you would find in Nazism, not the conservative Christians of America.
Mark Walters, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Mark, what about Hong Kong? What about the violence and the back and forth that's happening there? Don't they have guns?
You know, Hong Kong is controlled by a communist country now. I've never been there. I really don't know what happens in Hong Kong. I have great friends that live in China, and I can tell you that even when they're home in the United States and they're here right now, they go back on Saturday. They're now visiting their daughter in New York. They know they're being listened to on their phones. They have iPhones from China and iPhones from the U.S., and they know they're being listened to. I don't want to live in a world like that. I don't want to live under a government like that. I'll stay here and keep my gun.
Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, Brother Jim. It's too bad statistics for privately owned firearms saving lives aren't published on billboards. Mm. They really need to be.
Amen.
There. But the thing is, we do not punish criminals. In Ecclesiastes, it says, because a sentence against evil is not executed speedily, the sons of men are fully set in themselves to do evil. They see people not getting punished for their crimes, so they do them too. And finally, with respect, even your guest scenario about bringing the red flag victim in to do the hearing instead of pulling around behind his back won't work, because the guy still could be painted dangerous, the judge might agree, and he still hasn't committed a crime.
That's right. That's right. Brad, this is a great call and a great comment. That's the problem with this. That's the lack of due process that you're referring to. Wonderful point. And Ecclesiastes, same thing. You know, when you talk about the due process aspect of this, there is no way around the fact, no matter how you do it, if both of those parties aren't there and represented here, you cannot have due process, period. There's no other way to slice it. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Brad. Let's go next to Houghton, Michigan. Lance, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Mark. Great program. Hey, real quick, I'm a big one for research and statistics, and I can't remember what event I participated in. It must be 3-4 years ago. But they showed out of the millions of guns in the U.S. and the hundreds of thousands of responsible gun owners, legal gun owners, whether they're hunters, licensed hunters, home protection, whatever it is, that, and I don't know why our pro-Second Amendment politicians or the NRA doesn't talk about this statistic more, but Mark, maybe you know something about it. It was something like 0.0028%, less than a percent of any legal gun owner, homeowner, was ever involved in a crime.
Lance, first off, Higgins, Houghton, I learned how to water ski in central Michigan and up in the UP, man. You live in a beautiful place. God bless you.
Lance,
that's a great point. There's a reason that is not discussed, because it doesn't fit the agenda. When you talk about concealed carry permit holders, less than 0.01% commit crimes. Concealed carry permit holders commit crimes at a far lower rate than police officers on and off duty combined. That does not fit the narrative. That will never be let out. And I'll leave it with this. My favorite bumper sticker logic regarding that, 100 million gun owners hurt no one today.
Hmm.
And I'll leave it there.
Wow. Thank you, Lance. Lisa, Mitchell, South Dakota, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm a single woman, and I was contemplating on getting a weapon and for protection. And I had a few concerns that I wasn't really sure who to ask about. But what happens if you're, like, at Walmart and somebody opens fire and you're carrying, and then you help the situation, and the cops come in and they think that it's you doing the problem when you're actually trying to help? How can you actually, how would they be able to know if you are good or if you are bad? That's one thing that I was kind of concerned about. And
Let's have our guest address that issue, Lisa. We've got other callers lined up here.
Lisa, great question. That comes up a lot. And you know, interestingly, and I'm not accusing you of this, that's usually a hypothetical brought up by the left against civilian carry. And that we have yet to see that case unfold, by the way. That has not happened. But I will tell you this. In a situation like the Walmart in El Paso or even the California or any other shooting where a rifle was used, your little Ruger LC9 six shot is not going to be mistaken for an AR-15 or an AK-47 rifle. I can tell you that. And your obligation is to escape with your life and your kids and your family, if at all possible. But I believe if you are face-to-face and your death is imminent and you have a firearm, you have a moral obligation to try to stop evil as well, too. But there's too many hypotheticals involved in that as an example, but it is a great question. My suggestion is get training, buy the firearm, absolutely exercise your Second Amendment right. South Dakota is a great Second Amendment state. You have constitutional carry. Exercise your Second Amendment right, but get trained and continue to train religiously. Great advice.
Thank you, Lisa. We're going next to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. I'm going to try to make this right fast. All this talking about puzzle here and this there and how come this happened. It's one word. Satan. He's in his last days, and the fallen angels with him are falling up on people and driving them crazy to do these things. I'm a veteran myself, so I know what a firearm is. And men and women deserve to keep their firearms to protect themselves, their home, and their families. But I'm going to say to you, saints, and I'm going to say this right fast, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, he knows that we have a petition that we desire of him. And that's for the protection of our wives, our homes, our husbands, when they go to work, when they come from work, when they go shopping and come for shopping. Because you know what the pitiful thing of this whole incident is this weekend? There are souls that were lost.
There are
souls that were lost.
That's the tragedy.
And we think we have to witness to them, and I'll get off the air because I am mad. I am mad at the devil. I hate him because he comes but to one thing, to steal, to kill,
and
destroy. God bless you all now.
Thank you, Courtney. Some good thoughts there, and certainly the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Good comments, Mark, from Courtney.
Yeah. Courtney, let me address one thing quickly. Too many people in America fail because there's an attack on our Christianity in this country. God is under attack in this country. That's another piece of the puzzle, by the way, that I was talking about in the opening segment. All of this is part of the puzzle. When you remove God, you destroy the family, breakdown of morals, throw in this technology, all of this hateful things we see 24/7 coming at us, it's all part of the puzzle. But what I want everybody to understand, and never forget this, this audience understands this, evil exists, and too many Americans fail to remember that.
Courtney, thank you for the call. We apologize to others who've been on hold, but we've run out of time. Mark Walters, our guest today. You can check out more information at armedamericaradio.com, saf.org. And Mark, thanks so much for being with us today.
Jim, thank you. I really had a great time. I look forward to coming back. I appreciate the opportunity.
We appreciate you being with us here today. And folks, let's continue to keep our nation in prayer. Such a vital opportunity we have.
You've been listening to
Thanks for listening.
Via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.